Monitor Music is next in line, and here's Frank Purcell's orchestra with Casino Royale. Sinatra, not a bad singer at all, is next on Monitor singing I Can't Believe I'm Losing You.
Is this the way our romance ends? I got the message when you said we could be friends. My love was true. I can't believe I'm losing you. We played a game of give and take, but I stopped playing when my heart began to break. What can I do? I can't believe I'm losing you. Wish I could erase every little trace of love that's in the heart of me. When a young man's fancy turns, it's for love his poor heart yearns. 'Cause it's spring and girls all sing.
Ah, nothing like a Saturday evening in spring and Monitor. It's nice to be here. Oh, yeah, I'm George Carlin, sitting in for Ted Steele this week. About 2 minutes from now, a student leader at Columbia University gives his views about the student rebellion on the Columbia campus. First, a new one from Raymond Lefevre's orchestra. And if you know how to sing the word la, join right in and sing along with Raymond. To help you keep up with what's happening among the youth of the nation, here's Monitor's weekly report on this younger generation with Linda Sutter.
On April 23rd, Columbia University was brought to a standstill for the first time in its history. This was brought about through a student demonstration organized by primarily two student groups, Students for a Democratic Society and Society of Afro-American Students. For several days, they occupied several of the university buildings, giving them up only after the university had called in the police to force them out. Although some classes were resumed yesterday, Columbia is still partially paralyzed. Ted Gold, who's 20 years old, is a senior at Columbia, majoring in sociology. He was formerly a national vice president of Students for a Democratic Society, and he's been active in organizing this demonstration. Ted, what are you demonstrating about?
Well, there are two basic things we're demonstrating about, a few fundamental issues where we think that the university administration is in the wrong. The most important of these are their decision to build a gym on Morningside Heights against the wishes of the West Harlem and Morningside communities. The second and I think more basic thing we're demonstrating about is the question of who makes decisions in the university, who runs the university, and in whose interest the university functions. I would say that these questions are very closely related, that the specific policies that we're protesting, that we've been protesting in the past 2 weeks and 2 years at Columbia, come very directly out of the fact that the university is run by an administration responsible only to a board of trustees and not to its students and faculty.
Why did you demonstrate? I mean, had you tried any negotiation other than the demonstrations to make your point?
Yes, we had been using much less militant, much less dramatic forms of protest or negotiation, if you will, whatever you want to call it, for quite some time, and we found that they simply had no effect.
It's been claimed, both by the university and by the press, that the demonstrators, SDS and SAS, are in a minority. Is this right?
Well, I would say that the majority of the campus definitely does not support SDS's ideological critique of American society in total. However, I'm equally sure that on the main issues involved in the protest, the support for the strike is overwhelming, even in terms of the tactics we've used to confront the university administration. We feel we do have very widespread support. And I think people are beginning to see that, fortunately or not, dramatic action of this sort is the only way that you're going to get administrations to change their policy.
But now, in essence, what you've done is to virtually suspend the education of the majority who don't necessarily agree with your tactics. How do you justify this?
You have to look at the question in terms of who the relevant constituencies are. For example, on the question of the gym, the most relevant constituency, it seems to me, are the people of West Harlem and Morningside Heights. Now, even if the Columbia community 100% behind building that gym, which it isn't by any means. I think that the vast majority are against the gym now. But even if it were, I don't think it would be democratic for Columbia to build that gym there, because that decision wouldn't be the decision of Columbia community to make. It should be the decision of the community in which the gym is being built to make.
Well, why do you think that the students should have a say in this?
Well, I don't think that students should have a say in university policy. I think that university policy should be decided by the students and faculty. The university community is the students and faculty. What happens at places like Columbia and virtually every university in the country is those groups, the groups that basically make up the university, don't make the decisions that affect their lives. The decisions are made by the administrations, which are responsible only to the Board of Trustees. If you look at the Board of Trustees, you'll see not so much that these people, you know, aren't great educators or something. I mean, I don't think that's particularly important. But, you know, if you examine who they are, you'll find that you go down the list. Every one of them, with virtually no exception, are high up on the boards of, you know, major corporations. These are the people who control the university. According to the charter of the university, all decisions, all policy is directly made by the trustees.
So in essence, what you're demonstrating for is more of a student voice in the university.
Well, I repeat, not just a student voice. I think the university should be controlled by the students and faculty. If there are administrative tasks to be carried out, and there certainly are, those administrators should be responsible to the students and faculty.
What about the illegal aspects of this demonstration? How far are you prepared to go illegally to achieve your ends?
People have been telling us that, you know, what we're doing goes counter to law and order. Well, there's no doubt about that. The question is, what does that order represent? What social order is it? And following right from that, you know, if the laws are made to protect that order, the laws aren't a good thing unless that order is a good thing. Now, it's the position of SDS that the order that is maintained at Columbia University, or rather that had been maintained until an oppressive order. So when the order that those laws are instituted to protect is itself a bad thing.
Ted, let me just ask you one more question. Is this really a question between the students and the administration of Columbia University? Or are you trying for something else of which Columbia University is only a part?
Well, I mean, the answer to that is clearly that Columbia is only a part of what we consider to be a very unjust system throughout the United States.
Ted Gold, a senior at Columbia University and an organizer of the student demonstrations there. This is Linda Sutter reporting for This Younger Generation on Monitor.
The only reason I would presume to make a comment at this time is because Columbia University is located in the neighborhood I grew up in. I lived across the street from Teachers College of Columbia 25 years. and I feel strongly about that community. I would just hope that universities everywhere will remember that they are part of a larger community and to be more responsive to those communities and certainly to the needs and desires of the students.
She would have stayed till who knows when, but I guess she couldn't understand it when I said I want to be your friend, because a friend would never doubt you, forever put you aside, and now I wonder what you're doing tonight. I
yes, I wonder what you're doing tonight.
The Enoch Light singers are doing tonight. They're singing, and we'll find out what the Indian Sergeant is doing tonight. That'll happen in a little while. We'll have a song by Bobby Gentry before that, so stick around. Think hippy dippy and stay on the Monitor Beacon. It's NBC for me. George Carlin here, and it's now 11 minutes before the hour. A good time to remind you that Henry Morgan is your Monitor host tomorrow afternoon with plenty of interesting features and guests. Julie Andrews reviews her hectic career and her private life as the mother of a lovely daughter. Actor and singer Noel Harrison, whose daddy is Rex, talks about identity and a famous father. And a lady author gives tips on bachelor girl living in the big city. Of course, plenty of news, sports, entertainment, and good Monitor music. Like this one sneaking into the background, Louisiana man, Miss Bobby Gentry.
At first, Mom and Papa called the little girl lady. They raised her on the banks of a riverbed. A houseboat tied to a big tall tree. A home for my Papa and my Mama and me. The clock strikes three, Papa jumps to his feet. Already Mama's cooking Papa something to eat. At half past Papa, he's ready to go. He jumps in his Piro headed down the bayou. He's got fishing lines strung across the Louisiana River. Gotta catch a big fish for us to eat. He's setting his traps, catching anything he can. He's gotta make a living, he's a Louisiana man. Gotta make a living, he's a Louisiana man. Muskrat hides hanging by the dozen. Even got a little bitty muskrat cousin. Got him out drying in the hot, hot sun. Tomorrow Papa's gonna turn him into mud. They call Mama Rita and my daddy Jack. My little baby brother on the floor, that's Mac. Red and Lynn are the family twins. Big Brother Eddie's on the bayou fishing. On the river floats Papa's great big boat. That's how me and Papa get into town. It takes every bit of a night and day to even reach a place where the people stay. Oh, I can hardly wait until tomorrow comes around. That's the day my Papa takes a bird to town. Papa done promised me that I could go. He'd even let me see a cowboy show. I saw the cowboys and Indians for the first time then. I told my Papa, gotta go again. Papa says, hon, we got lives to run. We'll have to come again, cause there's work to be done. You've got fishing lines strung across the Louisiana River. Gotta catch a big fish for us to eat. He's setting his traps, catching anything he can. Gotta make a living, he's a Louisiana man. Gotta make a living, he's a Louisiana man.
If you're a regular Monitor listener, then you know we have a feature spot which gives you a chance to hear performances recorded live at leading theaters, nightclubs, and concert halls. We call it Monitor on Stage. And very frankly, I don't know what you're in for this time. Performer's name is George Carlin.
Hey, now that's a colorful name. Maybe that's the guy I saw one night at a nightclub in Detroit called the Rooster Tail. I seen him do this routine about an all-Indian army. George Carlin, yeah, that's it. The Indian top sergeant is briefing his men.
All right, all the tall guys over by the trees. Fat guys down behind the rocks. You with the beads, out of line, come on. Boy, there's one in every village. All right, knock off the horseplay. Come on, knock off the horseplay. You guys over there playing with the horse, will you knock it off? He's all been given a piece of birch bark and a feather dipped in eagle's blood. We want you to write on the birch bark with the feather in the upper right-hand corner. That's the upper right-hand corner. That's your arrow hand. You write your name, last name first name last. Your name is Running Bear, you write Bear Running. You got a middle initial, please include that, such as Wolf, Howling W. A lot of you guys have been asking me about promotion. You'd like to make Brave Second Class. Get another scar up on your arm. Well, I'm happy to say the results of your early tests have come true. You're doing beautifully. Burning settlers' homes, everybody passed. Imitating a coyote, everybody passed. Sneaking quietly through the woods, everybody passed, except Limping Ox. However, Limping Ox is being fitted with a pair of corrective moccasins. And he'll be up and dancing in no time at all. There'll be a massacre tonight at 9:00. We'll meet down by the bonfire, dance around a little, and move out. This will be the fourth straight night we've attacked the fort. However, tonight it will not be as easy. Tonight there will be soldiers in the fort. Happy to say I'll be leading the massacre. I'll be running down front. You'll see me. I'm the one that's on fire. And the uniform of the day, it's a formal massacre. You want your Class A summer loin clot. Two green stripes over the eye, no feather. Arms are blue, legs are red, chest is optional. You might throw a little yellow on the bellies. No, you can't put any purple on your eyelids. Ain't you the guy with the beads? Get out of line, would you please, Bob?
Monitor on Stage, and that young fellow's name is George Carlin.
Keep those cards and letters coming in.
Mother's Day reservations? Mother's Day reservations?
Call your FTD florist. Make Mother's Day flower reservations now.
The Bad and the Ugly, Hugo Montenegro's orchestra. It's a fast-moving world, and the best way to keep up with it is to hear NBC Monitor News on the Hour. It's coming up next. This is George Carlin.
We still have more to bring you. Just wait and see.
More news, more songs to sing you.